Moving your body is the best medicine you can find.
Hi, friend. Welcome to Gather and Growth, a show created for passionate, growth-focused rural women like you. From mindset work and building strong habits to exploring the unique joys and challenges of living rural, this is a show to leave you feeling joyful, inspired, and a little less alone. Together, we're on a journey of reaching for the most confident, healthy, and authentic version of ourselves, and I'm forever grateful to have you by my side. Whether you're currently running on a back road, shuffling kids to town, hopping along for a tractor ride, or three loads deep into folding laundry, grab yourself a nice coffee and let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome back to Gather and Growth. I am joined by a tiny little sidekick who has napped very much today. So yes, I am trying to entertain her by letting her look at her face in the video on my screen as I record. Today is my first day of half marathon training. And so today, in the spirit of doing things with friends, I am here to talk you into, okay, maybe running a half marathon, maybe not, maybe something else. But in general, some of the reasons that I think signing up for something that scares you, specifically an endurance challenge like a race, whether it's a 5K or a 10K or a half or a full marathon, or one of those mountain climbing things, or some sort of group relay situation, why doing that is so stinking cool, and why you should consider it as something to put on your list. I almost said for 2023. Guys, we are 3 months into 2024. Okay, hello. So for some context, if someone is sending you this message and you're like, who even is this girl? Let me tell you a little bit about my journey into becoming a runner, because I am not a person who has always identified as such, much less someone who even ever identified as being remotely athletic. My watch is talking to me. Do your babies do that? Do they like touch your watches and then make your like phone alarm and Siri go off all the time? Okay. Anyway, so for pretty much my entire childhood, I was told that I should not run. I had pretty severe asthma, some bouts in and out of the hospital with breathing related things. I was on nebulizers and inhalers and all the shenanigans. So doctors pretty much told my parents, like, she shouldn't run. Don't sign her up for soccer. Like any of that stuff. So I very much internalized that messaging. I remember like one of my PE teachers told me I wasn't cut out for the weightlifting class. Like there have just been so many instances in my adolescence that confirmed the fact that athletics were not for me. Most teams that I tried out for, I did not make, including cheerleading. Someone the other day was like, you must have been a cheerleader in high school because you are just such a natural at like making people feel supported. And I was like, these are self-made skills, because I tried out 3 years in middle school and never made it. Played softball into high, or not even in junior high, but in high school, because they needed girls on the team and I was a rural team player, but not coordinated, hanging out in right field, if you know, you know. So anyway, I, of course, like so many of us, went through bursts in high school and college where I would try to work out mostly from a diet culture perspective of needing to elliptical myself into being smaller, changing my pant size, having a flatter stomach, you know, all of that shenanigans. And as anyone will tell you, that is the least effective way to do anything. But had never really had a healthy relationship with exercise, never really found my groove, never really knew how I fit into this or how to even move my body in a way that served my body until I was almost 30 years old. When I was about 5 months postpartum with our second child, my daughter, I got to this point, and I've shared about this at length on the podcast, but I was totally burnt out, so freaking exhausted, working all the time, pumping like 8 times a day in addition to nursing around the clock. Postpartum was a wild time anyway, much less when you have two under two. And before I became a mom, I treated my body totally like trash. Like before we moved back to the farm, like we were going out more nights than not, eating garbage food,
all of the above.
And so I distinctly remember a moment sitting on my couch where I was like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, I have this baby girl, and I felt this like heavy weight of responsibility to figure out what health looked like from a totally different perspective than anything I had tried in the past. And so it's in that moment that I was just like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this looks like, but I need to learn how to take care of myself and not pass on this diet culture to this beautiful baby girl that I have. The last thing I would ever want is for her to feel the way about her body that I had felt in my body for as long as I can remember. I was working full-time at the Y, which was a total blessing because I had very easy access to group exercise classes. Not that I'd really taken advantage of them up until this point, but signed up for some classes. And at that same time, happened to find the world of personal growth and development. And to make a long story short, just really started to understand the building blocks of habits and mindset changes and goal setting and really, truly what it looked like to take care of ourselves from a place of love and from honoring my body and viewing movement as something to enjoy and to something to give energy and something to make me feel good and something that was like me time versus this like I need to work out in order to achieve such and such vanity related result. And so I want to say it was the first week that I worked out. I did like a few classes a few days in a row. And on Fridays, we didn't have classes. And so for whatever reason, I decided to run a mile. I think because one of my coworkers was perhaps. And I did it. And I was so stinking red in the face. I was winded. Like I had, I don't know, just ran a mile after never running a mile my whole entire life. And I remember walking into my coworker's office and just being like, that was the hardest thing I've literally ever done. Like 10, 12 minutes straight of running and I cannot even function. Like, and so it was at that point that I just wanted to commit to like, can I even run a 5K? Like, is that even a possibility? And a 5K turned into a 10K. And then my coworker talked me into signing up for a half marathon. And I was like, you are actually out of your ever loving mind. And she was like, you can do it. I promise. If I've done it, you can do it. And I believed her. And I did it. And we'll get more into the how here in a few minutes, but it was transformational. It was in that time of training for a 5K and then training for a 10K and then training for a half marathon that my entire world shifted. And maybe if you've never done something like this before, that sounds so dramatic. And I'm sure there's someone listening that's like, okay, great. That's great that you did that, but that is not for me. I am not special and gifted like you. No, no, no. Go back and listen to the beginning of this episode. I am not a person. I would not say in my entire life that I was athletic or fit or capable. Like being a runner was not in my vernacular whatsoever. I was better at pounding beers than like pounding the pavement. That was a good one. I just came up with that on the spot. All right. And here are some of the lessons that I took away from that first race that I trained for. And then also subsequent things that have come after that and why I think it's such a powerful thing for, first of all, anyone to do, but especially women and especially moms of young kids. So it was during that time that I, first of all, learned really what it looked like to set a goal and then actually be able to reverse engineer it into something I could do every single day to actively work towards the goal. It's one thing to have a goal, whether it's, you know, writing a book or starting a nonprofit or whatever that looks like. And it's a totally different thing to actually do something on a daily basis to bring it to fruition. And running is like one of the most concrete ways to have to build out a step-by-step plan to get there. Like most people can't just decide, I'm going to run a half marathon and then the next day wake up and run 13.1 miles. Like that's crazy. You and I both know that. Like there has to be training that goes into it. And unless you are a person that can just naturally get up and run, and if case, maybe this isn't the episode for you, but for most of us humans here on earth, like you really can't half-ass it. Like you got to build out your training plan and you got to show up. And you got to show up when it's hard and when you got to show up when you're doubting yourself and you got to show up when it's inconvenient And you got to show up when you don't think you can. You got to keep going when you think that there is nothing left in you to give. And so it is such a powerful lesson, like I said, in goal setting, in actually breaking it down into a timeline with steps, and just also what it looks like to show up for yourself. I think a lot of us have no problem speaking dreams or goals into the world. And it's another thing to continuously show up for them. And when it comes to training, it's showing up. It's treating that run that's on your calendar as if it's a doctor's appointment or a work meeting or your kid's basketball practice. It is such a powerful practice in prioritizing what you need, which I know a lot of moms really struggle with. We do everything for everyone else with a smile on our face. We bend over backwards to get everyone where they need to be, pack all of the things, like shift our lives around for what they need. Gosh, especially you when you talk about being a farm wife in busy seasons, that oftentimes what we need, if we can even conceptualize it, is pushed aside. And when you are in a training cycle for an endurance type race, you have to learn how to say, this is important to me. Here's how I need help. And whether that's with your spouse, whether that's with a neighbor, whether that's with your in-laws, whether that's with a friend, like you have to know what your priorities are. And if the way life is going doesn't meet them, then you have to figure out how to adapt to make your priority a priority. And you have to learn to be okay with asking for help. I think especially with moms of little kids, for me, I mean, my daughter was, like I said, like 6 months old or so when I started my fitness journey. Started working out in late August, early September. It was actually like after Labor Day, so that's September, okay? I ran my first 5K in October, my 10K on Thanksgiving Day. My half marathon was supposed to be in May. And you know what happened in spring of 2020? You're right, the world shut down. So my race was actually canceled. And gosh, that's a whole nother thing in itself, is what it looks like to continuously show up for something that's really hard when you know it's not going to pan out the way you thought it was going to. There was no in-person race to train for. It was like me versus me in the pavement. I ended up running my first half marathon on the back roads of the town I grew up in the morning of my daughter's baptism. It was supposed to be in May. I ended up doing it in June because I had an injury along the way. But anyway, so my daughter was between 6 months and a little over a year old the first time that I did this. And that's a hard time as a mama, right? I mean, it's an incredible season. That's like the season that we're approaching right now. My baby that I'm currently holding is 4.5 months old. And so when I'm running my half in June, she'll be 8 months. And for anyone else who's ever had a Velcro baby who is attached to you all the time, whether you're a working mom or a stay-at-home mom, the time that you get to spend training sometimes is like the only hour of the day that someone is not touching you or needing you or demanding something of you. And that alone is so good for your mental health and so empowering and so liberating. To have something that's yours. Just this morning, I was on an Ignite and Grow call, and a couple of the women were talking about, they don't know what their hobbies are. Their husbands hunt or golf or busy farming or involved in this, that, and the other. And they're like, where do I fit in? Like, cooking isn't a hobby. Taking care of the house isn't a hobby. I enjoy my children, but that's not a hobby. Like, what do I like? And maybe you're saying, okay, yeah, Emily, but like running is not what I like. I get it, but it's time. Moms who train for races with strollers are superhuman, because pushing a stroller while running is like running in place while going forward. You can't use your arms. No, that is not the life for me. I also know several mamas who train for races on treadmills with their kids running amok around them. You are also a next level superhero. I am an outdoor runner. I don't care if it is sunny or windy or rainy or cold. And that is another thing. That wasn't one of my original points, but that is another thing that I learned how to do. Talk about flexing the muscle of doing hard things. Running and training when it's not convenient is totally different, because I would argue that before that, if I were to ever have gone on a run or a walk, it was only when weather conditions were perfect, right? Oh, it's raining, got to stay inside. Oh, it's breezy, like not going out on a walk, whatever. But when you got to show up, you got to show up rain or shine. And I know it sounds bonkers, but there is nothing more empowering than doing a long run in the rain, or when it's cold, or when it is so freaking blazing hot. And it flexes the muscle of like, oh, I did that hard thing. Now I can do another hard thing. Like when I was training for my first half, in my mind, I was like, I labored and birthed 2 humans, and that hurt more than this, and that took longer than this. I can get through this mile. I can get through this next 5 minutes. I can get through this long run. Interestingly enough, my most recent birth was my first unmedicated. And the whole time I was thinking, I have trained and ran for half marathons. After I did my first half marathon, I also did a relay style run from Quincy, Illinois to Peoria, Illinois. It's 135 miles. My first year, well, it was during COVID, so I ran around park. I did 20 miles, the next year, 30 miles, the next year, 25 miles, not consecutively, but over a 24-hour span in the dead of summer heat and overnight. And let me tell you, like, there were times I did not know how my legs were actually running. It was 100% for the cause and for my team. And so being in labor going, I made it through that mile when I didn't think I could go anymore. Like, I can go one more minute of this labor. It's just amazing. And so whether we're talking about distance running, whether we're talking about mountain climbing, whether we're talking about whatever, when you push past the limits of what you think is possible, it unlocks an entirely new capacity for what is possible for you in your life. I have absolutely no doubt that a huge amount of the confidence that I had cultivated when I started my business was being on the other side of this health and fitness and running journey. Because it was like, well, I didn't know how to run a half marathon and I figured that out. Sure enough, I can figure out how to share online. Well, I didn't know that my body could carry me for 13.1 miles in the heat of the summer, and it did. So surely my brain can bring X, Y, and Z to life. Like, even when I think about our house flooding over the past couple of months, like, I am so stinking proud of the way that Andrew and I handled that. And I've said that before on this show. But that came on the other side of doing hard things repeatedly over the last few years on purpose. Like, the muscles of grit and tenacity don't come from nowhere. They come from doing hard things, getting to the other side of it, and feeling so freaking proud of yourself and triumphant. The number of women that I know that struggle with seeing any value in their accomplishments or feeling pride around the things that they've done or giving themselves credit for where they're at and what they've accomplished. Like, running forces you, I keep talking about running, but really any kind of endurance, physical endurance training, forces you to set micro goals and crush them and then celebrate them and then move on to the next thing. And then you get to celebrate in a really big way when you get to that finish line. Okay, so in addition to all of that, first of all, fantastic for your health and your mental health. Oh my goodness, this is the hill I could stand on forever. Moving your body is the best medicine you can find. Long before I started therapy, running was my therapy. And it's because when you are alone with your thoughts and you learn to get comfortable with yourself for the first time, I'm not gonna lie, I think running was one of the first times that I had spent that much time alone actually thinking and allowing myself to think about the things that I was thinking about and processing and feeling. Like, I am so grateful that I was training for a race in the height of COVID, because when I was feeling stressed, when I was feeling anxious, when I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, when I didn't have all the answers, when the world was topsy-turvy crazy, I was out on the road listening to music, listening to podcasts, listening to myself, and just like, it's like a meditation. Like, there is legit brain science behind the way our minds clear, not only when we move, but especially when we move in forward motion, whether it's walking or running or swimming or whatever. There is, on a granular level, something healing that happens in our bodies and in our minds when we are moving. Of course, physical health. Let's be honest. It's so funny. Like, I already talked about like how warped diet culture affected so many of us. But once I stopped caring what I looked like and I focused on I'm training and I want to feel faster. I want to get stronger. I want to feel healthier. I need to have energy for my next run. I need to get good sleep. I need to hydrate appropriately. Like once my focus for what I was doing with and to my body was related more to energy and feeling and strength and stamina and speed, and then I was doing things that improved all of those other benchmarks, wouldn't you believe it? The body that I could not have even dreamed of is what was the result of it. And it was also the best feeling ever, because it doesn't matter what your body actually looks like or what your size is or what your measurements are. Like, when you are taking care of your body so diligently from a place of love and excitement and energy and, you know, feeling good, like your confidence radiates and skyrockets, because self-love in so many ways is literally mean taking care of yourself. The best thing that I can do to love myself is to nourish myself, eat plenty of food, move my body in ways that feel fun and exciting, and feel just strong and healthy and energetic and ultimately the mom I want to be. And that's why I am jumping into half marathon training again. I'm not going to lie, the first one is so freaking cool because it's like a dopamine hit. Because every time you hit another long run mile mark, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ran 6 miles. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ran 7.75 miles. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ran 9 miles. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just ran 10 miles. Oh my, holy cannoli, I just ran a half marathon. Like, that is so freaking cool. When your body shows you how capable it is, when you treat it well, like your mind-body connection and the way you feel is just, it's amazing. It is so amazing and inspiring. And for me, it was such a gateway into, like I said, setting goals, staying accountable to the things that I said I wanted to do, honoring time and space for me, articulating what I needed, asking for help, prioritizing what I felt like was important, taking care of my physical and mental health, and just being able to say, I did it. There is like a very small percentage of people in the world who can say that they did a half marathon. When I was doing it for the first time, it was such a dopamine hit because it was so cool. And I'm not going to lie, the second time was still really cool because I was training for an actual in-person race. The third time I did it, it was rough. I was training for the same race I had ran previously. My life looked totally different. I didn't necessarily have the systems in place. And I'm not going to lie, it was really, really hard. Still felt amazing when I was on the other side of the finish line, but it was really hard. And now this time around, I have such a deeper understanding of myself and my body and my mind and what makes me feel good. And I know that conditioning and training makes me feel amazing. And as a postpartum mom, like, I love the idea of getting to do all of those things that I know have made me feel so good. Now, last year, Andrew and I actually signed up to do a 30K, which is like a little bit more than 18 miles out west. I want to say it was in like Montana or something. It was like going to be all mountain views and trail running. And I was so excited about the challenge for that, because let's be honest, the scenery would be a little different than the roads of rural Illinois. Well, we signed up in 2 weeks, maybe a week later, I found out I was pregnant. For a while, I told people I was going to walk it. And then I got to July and was like, that's not going to happen. So I don't know. Maybe we will do that this year. I am very excited to be back in half marathon condition. Like, it's pretty badass to be able to be like, I'm going to wake up on a Saturday and I'm going to go run 6 miles or 8 miles and just be able to like train for life. When Andrew and I did our goal setting weekend last year, we were just talking about how we want to be in the physical health where we could have an opportunity to do anything and be physically ready for it, whether that's climb a mountain or just everyday life stuff, carrying kids around, you know, doing stuff around the house, around the farm, or being able to like train for a trail race or something like that. Like, I want to be in the physical condition, not that I'm like always training for a race, but I want to be in the physical condition where I can do anything that I want to without it being like catastrophically hard. So anyway, I'm pumped. I'm really excited. Our gym's put together. My training from just a very tactical standpoint is going to include running, obviously, strength training, which I plan on using Peloton workouts for. I do have a bike and I might incorporate some of that just for fun, just because I enjoy that and I have friends who do it, but that won't be my primary focus for cardio. And then basically my training plan looks like 2 shorter runs during the week. So that'll scale up over the course of the next 15 weeks, but between 2 and 3 miles. Then 1 longer run that progressively gets higher and kind of scales back a few times for some good rest, and then a short, easy run on Sundays. So that's what I will be doing, putting this out here so that 15 weeks from now, I can talk about how it feels on the other side of it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous. I think it's really hard when we do something that we've done before to not compare ourselves to it. I see this a lot with women I work with who like used to be college athletes or were runners long before they had kids, like, and how they compare their physical abilities now to then. To remind myself, you know, I've had 1 more kid since then. Like, my brain and my body is in a totally different place. I also have a different capacity and understanding for what it means to like push myself and nurture myself and take care of myself. So it will be a totally different experience because I've never done it right now, but I'm excited. I'm training alongside my friend Kylie, and I've been having a lot of really good conversations in DMs with other women training for races. So my race is in the middle of June. I've typically run May races. I think April, May, June is a really great time to run. It gets pretty hot in July and August to be running a half marathon, but if you go north in the country, there are a lot of summer races that I'm sure are beautiful. So if you have any questions, I am certainly not a running coach. I am just a chick on the internet, but I'd be happy to bestow any information to you that I can that would be helpful. And I would love for you to experience what it looks like to train for something. And we could hang out and do it together. Another thing I'd really like to do in the future, there's an endurance challenge where they basically travel to different like mountains, I'm sure around the world, but even in the country, and they measure out the equivalent of like climbing to base camp in Everest, and you have a certain amount of time to like go climb up the mountain and then they like cart you back down and so on and so forth. I think that would be really cool. When I was like 4 or 5 months postpartum with my first, so my friends and I did the like shorter Tough Mudders. It was like 5 miles. I walked most of it. Oh God, it was so hard. The cool thing about the Tough Mudder, especially like those, the 5K ones, is like, it's mostly team effort obstacles. Like, I had no ounce of body strength. I couldn't have done any of it by myself, but it was like the guys and just other random people. That was really fun. I would love to be in the condition to be able to do a full Tough Mudder. Maybe that's something I'll look at doing this fall. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I convinced you to do this, or maybe you still think I'm crazy, but I think that the number one reaction is, oh, I could never do that. She must be built different. And I promise you that I am not. I am not. And any evidence of the way it might look easy for me now or natural for me now has been honed in the first time that I did this. So you can do it. And you do not even have to be a runner now. You don't even have to have been able to run 1 mile. All you gotta have is the balls to say, this is gonna be really hard, but I can do hard things and I can figure this out. And if she can do it, I can do it. I think that's one of the coolest things, is to be able to see each other do really cool stuff and say, if she can do it, I can do it. And I promise that if I can do it, you can do it. Send this to someone that you feel like you could train for something alongside. And it doesn't have to be a half marathon, y'all. Train for a 5K. Okay? There's like a million half couch to 5K programs on there. And I promise you can run a 5K. And I promise if you run a 5K, you can run a 10K. I know that sounds crazy. Running math is not logical. But if you can run a 5K, then you can run a 10K. And if you can run a 10K, you can run a half marathon. And I know that sounds crazy because you're literally doubling mileage every time you do that. But once your body is in the condition to run for 30 minutes straight, it's literally just a matter of training to increase those miles. You get to the point that you're like, what's 10 more minutes? Which is a whole nother mile. Then you're like, oh, what's 20 more minutes? That's 2 more miles. And I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy because I used to think it was crazy too. But if you can get to the point of running a 5K, you can run a half marathon. Now, a lot of people have asked me, will you run a marathon? And I'm not a never say never type of person, but like, I have no interest in running a marathon. Not because I don't think I can, but because I don't actually want to dedicate that much time to marathon training, because the long runs are hours and hours and hours long. And I don't want to. Maybe someday, but not right now. Not in this season of life. But for now, I'm going to train for my middle of June half marathon. And if you are in the same region as me and live anywhere near the St. Louis area, reach out and you can run alongside of us. Anyway, until next time, I am so forever grateful for you.
Have I told you today how much I appreciate you? I'd like to imagine this was a meaningful backyard patio kind of chat between friends sipping LaCroix at sunset. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a screenshot to share or forward this episode to a friend. You can also find me at Emily Rushell over on social to continue the conversation. It's truly a joy to hear what tidbits and takeaways made an impact on your day. As always, all links and resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes listed below or over at emilyrushell.com. Special thanks to my podcast manager, Jill Carr, for the time and love she puts into producing Gather and Growth for this community. What a blessing it is to be on this personal growth journey together. Forever grateful for you.